And we're back, Stripe Show Podcast, on a Wednesday. Hope you're having a good week. Really not much to talk about this week in the podcast business. Oh, man, the bomb dropped on us yesterday. Need to go back and listen to that podcast if you've been living under a rock. Of course, a merge has happened, or is happening, pending, I should say, between the PGA Tour, DP World Tour, and the PIF, which is funding the LIV Tour. And all that went down yesterday up in Canada. And joining me from up there, getting ready to, or trying to get ready, I would imagine, to play a golf tournament, the 112th ranked player in the world, Lee Hodges. How you doing, man?
Yeah, good, man. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
So what did you do yesterday? Anything going on?
Took a nap and hit some golf balls. No, it was a crazy day. I mean, it's probably one of the crazier days I've ever had in my whole life. It's here now and we're dealing with it.
How did you learn of the news? Was it like everybody else, 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning?
No. I found out I could go back and look and tell you exactly when I found out, but I'm in a group chat with a bunch of friends, and one of my buddies sent me a link, and it said PGA and LIV merger, and I'll be completely transparent. I thought when I clicked on it, it was going to be a gag. I mean, I thought it was going to be something inappropriate probably, but then I clicked on it and there was a real article there, and I was pretty floored. Didn't really know what was going on.
Who's the first person you reached out to? Was it your buddy on tour? Was it your agent?
I immediately called my agent.
Did you?
Yep. He was in his daughter's kindergarten graduation. He was like, bro, I'll call you back in a minute.
He's like, nah, this ain't happening. Like, what?
He was like, dude, I think he told me he got up from the graduation when it was over and he had 172 messages.
Wow. Yeah, I got to tell you, I mean, I've got a nice little small functional pod here in my business in the studio. And, you know, I know a few of you guys out there. And I got to tell you, I just in my own little world, I probably had more texts than any significant moment in my life. I mean, really. I mean, I'm marrying my wife. Hey, I have my first child, my second child. Like it probably exceeded that amount of texts. Like, hey, do you see this? Is this true? What the hell is going on? Like, I don't know. I mean,
nobody knows.
Yeah, nobody knows. I mean, honestly, nobody, like none of your colleagues out there, no tour player, nobody knew that this was a possibility.
Not to my knowledge. I had zero idea. I found out I'm going to say it was 9 o'clock, 9:30, maybe 10 o'clock. I don't know. I mean, it was later, but there was a lot of shocked people. So I'm imagining they didn't know either, but I don't know, bigger names. I don't really rub elbows with that much, but they seem pretty shocked as well. So I would think they didn't know much.
Well, take us inside. Share us what you can. I mean, you were in the meeting yesterday. Take us aside the meeting. We're getting cliff notes coming out. Wesley Bryan had his camera running, and then Jeff Ogilvie's interview and a few others coming out. And, it seemed like it was pretty heated. We were DMing back and forth. Can you share with us just the tone and the atmosphere that was in that meeting? Did Jay just come in and just start like flipping hundreds out, like everybody, 100 for you, 100 and whatnot?
No, I honestly don't think anybody has enough information right now to be talking. Like, I think we need to just kind of sit back and learn. Let's learn more. Like, let's learn what's going on. Like, I don't think anybody even knows what's going on, to be honest. I mean, from my player standpoint, I don't think we know enough to. There was definitely some heated moments. There was some for it moments. There was not many for it, but there was a moment where, someone was for it. But there was a lot of heated and don't think many answers. I don't think many questions got the answer that they wanted, because I don't know if there is an answer at the moment. I think we're all hoping that those answers come at some point.
Yeah.
But I think we just need to sit back and kind of see what happens, because I don't know. I have no idea. I honestly have no – I was in the meeting and I have no idea.
You know the first thing that came across – that really settled in with me, because, of course, I've been thinking about this, and we had a couple people on yesterday and we talked about it a lot. And as I just sat and thought about it over the night and in the morning, like the thing that just keeps coming back to me, the PGA Tour is ran by the players. I mean, yeah. That's like, that's the way it's positioned to everybody. Like it's ran mm-hmm. by you guys, the players. Mm-hmm. And then I asked myself, well, how does such a monumental decision get made and none of the players even know about it? Like that doesn't even make sense to me. I thought the golf swing was complicated. You got all more complicated than that.
Right. No, I mean, it's wild. I mean, I don't have an answer for that. I don't know how that happens. I mean, I wish I did, but
yeah.
It's a tough situation for everybody. And I mean, yeah. Even on the outside, I mean, people who love the PGA Tour, like this is a tough decision for them, you know? So it's, mm-hmm. it affects a lot of people, and whether it's going to be for the good or the bad, I think we're going to have to wait and see.
Do the majority of players, do you think, look at Jay and he's a hypocrite, right? I mean, he drew the line mm-hmm. and he said, look, you go over there, stay over there, right? You're not coming back. You're getting mm-hmm. fined. You're getting this and that. You're getting eliminated from the PGA Tour, suspended. And then if you're with the PGA Tour, then, right? So he drew the line. Like, you're there or you're there. And then, you know, legacy, trophies, the history, PGA Tour, greatest tour in the world. Over there, money, spend more time with your family, all of those things, right, that we were sold. And then at the midnight hour, guess who takes the money, right? And so there's got to be a lot of guys in that meeting, I would imagine, that are looking at him and saying, I don't trust a word that comes out of your mouth moving forward. There's got to be a lot of guys that are just pissed like that, isn't there?
There was some angry fellas. Yeah. There was a lot of angry fellas. But again, I still think we have to. One of my buddies told me, I was like, "What do you?" He's a veteran, and I was like, "What do you think?" He was like, "I'm going to get as much information as I can, and then I'll give you my opinion."
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where I'm at. You know, I just don't think anybody has enough information at the moment. Now, I get being mad, and I get all of that. Like that's a reflex as a human being. But I think to make a really educated assessment, we're going to need more information.
You think most guys, that's where they're at? Because I saw Maverick McNealy made a big, long, well-thought-out post, very educated. Wouldn't expect anything else from a Stanford guy. You know, I mean, the guy's just using words that you got to, you know, Google to figure out. And and so, you know, he kind of took a step back and was like, all right, I just need to think about this with a clear conscience, right? Like, I've got a tournament to play first and foremost, which you do start tomorrow.
100%.
But I want more information. Do you think most guys, there was a lot of emotion, right? They're on there. You can just see it and deservedly so. Like I think I probably would have been that guy, to be quite honest with you. Right. But then, okay, cooler's head prevail. We take a step back. So you feel like the majority are like, let's let this play out and see exactly how it's going to look and feel, which is a more difficult pill to swallow for those that said no to live, right? And maybe had 50 to 100 million on the table.
Agreed.
But in the end, they're like, it is what it is. Like, I mean, you're a professional golfer. I want to play professional golf. So let's see how this plays out. You think most are leaning that way?
I would say the majority are going to just take a step back and think about it. You know, you had your guys that are going to be angry and like, you know, mm-hmm. fair enough. That's your right to be angry. Yeah. And I don't blame them at all for being angry. Like at first I was kind of going through, like, I have no idea how I feel. Like I was angry. And then I was like, well, maybe this is good. And then I was angry again. And I'm like, maybe this is good. And then I was like, how about you just take a step back and let's just mm-hmm. wait. So, there was definitely, you have both. I would say I would say the majority of people in that meeting were just there to listen. But then you had your people that were very upset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I feel like, and I was texting with a couple other players, feels like that's kind of the emotions they were at. Like, you know, mm-hmm. they were, it's almost like, you know, there's the betrayal, the hypocrisy which is understandable. But then there's also then there's the anger. And then there's the frustration of that you don't even really know what it means. Like, you know, so now you get pissed off at that and you're like, what? You know, so there's
it was a whirlwind of emotions yesterday.
The unknown of then what is it going to be? and how that's going to play. Are those guys going to be allowed right back into the PGA Tour?
Right.
You know, are they going to have to pay a fine? I don't think anybody knows the answer to that.
I don't think there is an answer to that right now. I don't think we're not getting told the answer. I don't think there is an answer. I don't think anybody knows. I don't think that has been decided yet.
It feels like the agreement is that the merger's in place, the skeleton's in place, and now they have to figure out how that is going to transpire, right? Sure. And what decisions need to be made. And it sounds like Jay will kind of lead that charge. And I would imagine with that said, then, you know, there's a lot of players that are not going to trust his leadership of, you know, what that is going to be and how that's going to look and feel and this and that. So I'm really interested, and I'll end with this because I want to talk about your game too. I'm really interested to see how his role, you know, is with the new entity and then how that coincides with the commissioner of the PGA Tour. And I think you players will probably have a say in that when it comes to his involvement as the commissioner of the PGA Tour. I look at Rory, you know, who's been the face for many ways in the PGA Tour out there in front, and what he put out there in his press conference today. The guy looks exhausted. You know,
he literally looks like a defeated human being, in my opinion.
He does. He looks defeated. I mean, he looks exhausted. I've been touting it on the podcast for weeks that no player should have to be out in front taking those kinds of bullets from the media. And he did. And he put it out there, and he wore it on his sleeve. And now, you know, kind of cut back, and now it's a whole different deck of cards. You know, I feel for him, and he just looks exhausted as he tries to win the Canadian Open for the third time. Let's talk about the Canadian Open. It's a new course, Oakdale Golf and Country Club. What can you tell us about it? The rough, is it heinous?
It's insane. I mean, I feel like, so I'm not playing the U.S. Open, but I feel like I've played the U.S. Open for 3 weeks in a row now. Like, I mean, right. PGA was brutally hard. Colonial was brutally hard. Last week at Memorial was insanely hard. And then this week is, there you go, pretty hard. So there's going to be a big premium on fairways this week. I mean, if you're outside of, I don't know, 150 yards, and you don't draw a good lie, you're just hacking it out this week.
Really?
It's that thick, yep.
So it could be bad lie, wedge it out to a number. No doubt. Straight
you'll see
U.S. Open.
Multiple times this week. Multiple times. You'll see that. I would go as far as say everybody's going to do that at least one time this week.
Oh, 55th at the PGA. 29th at the Charles Schwab, 12th last week at the Memorial. One of the things I like to do, Lee, on the pod is get out in front with guys that I feel like are trending, you know? Yeah. And of course, I've known who you are. Marcus Potty, your putting coach, when he's in town here, he teaches his lessons right over here in the studio. So if you're in the area, Potty Vidra, Marcus, when he's here, he's one of the best. He's been working with Lee. But it's not just the putting. I look at your ball striking, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I just feel like things are bubbling up for you right now. Like, you're playing some really, really good golf. Tee to green, you were this last couple weeks, your two best of the year, of this calendar year. Tell us about your game and what's coming together here.
I mean, I feel like I've always been a pretty good ball striker. It's just this year hadn't been my best. I think me and my coach have been kind of working on some things, not big things, but you know, maybe I kind of got away from what made me a great ball striker a little bit, and I think we've kind of got back to some stuff. And I've always been a pretty good driver of the ball. I mean, I don't hit it forever, but I hit it long enough and I hit it pretty straight. So I've really just been focusing on getting it in the fairway, and I've been doing a really good job of that as of late, and it's been giving me a lot of good opportunities to attack some flags.
Yeah, here's a swing of your driver here. Looks like Memorial. What are some things that you've kind of gotten back to? Is there some specific things that address or in the swing? You work with a guy by the name of Stephen Puryear. Is that right?
I do.
What are some of the checkpoints for you guys?
So with the driver, we're just trying to stay wide. And just honestly, it's a completely different swing than my iron swing. I'm not completely different, but pretty different. Like, I get the handle down with the irons, but then with the driver, we're really just trying to let that head go and kind of arms, you know, lead with the hands, and you can lean back on it a little bit and let it rip.
So through impact, you're feeling the left wrist almost kind of like a little, almost like a little bowed and your head staying behind it?
No, not really bowed, but I just, it's hard to explain. But so with my irons, I get my hands kind of down, and then with the driver, you know, the hands can kind of almost go out a little bit. Mm-hmm. If my hands get out with my irons, I kind of get a little two-way miss going. But with the driver, it's just kind of keep it wide and let it go.
Yeah, that's interesting, because with the driver, do you use numbers like at like a launch monitor, track band? Like, is your attack angle like 1 or 2 degrees up?
Yeah, so when I'm just kind of cruising, it stays around zero, which is for me kind of is my fairway finder. But we've gotten a little more into moving the ball up and trying to launch it up in the air. So I've kind of been going with two drivers. I've got just a fairway finder, and then just we just say, you know, let it rip. And I've started launching it on that let it rip one. I've just kind of been trying to launch it in the 3-ish range, and I've noticed a big difference in carry, and it's been nice to carry a couple bunkers that I normally couldn't have carried. But I think that swing there was probably just a fairway finder. It didn't look like I had the ball up super far. It almost looked like I had a little back. But
so when you hit 3 degrees up, does the ball fade?
It does. Yep.
Yeah. 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 See, it's interesting kind of explaining this for our audience.
Right.
When you turn and let your hands kind of go out, maybe get behind it a little bit more, maybe teed up a little higher, get that attack angle to go up a little bit more. Like, you're kind of letting it go out and get it swing up.
For sure.
And so that 3-degree upward attack angle, the net effect of that is that it's moving the path to the right. So for every degree you hit up with the driver, effectively it's moving the path to the right 1 degree.
Yep.
So 3 degrees up, path 3 degrees to the right, depending upon which his swing direction, you know, just naturally is probably going to fade. Mm-hmm. And then when he gets to his irons, right, you don't want that kind of flaring out. You want it almost to kind of keep the handle down low and turning left.
Correct. Yeah. I try to get the handle to come out as low and left as possible. I don't love a lot of face rotation on the way back. I think you'll probably be able to tell that. Like, it's almost like it almost looks shut to some people, but it's just a lot of no face rotation, and then really just trying to get that club back down and so that it can exit low and left. So that's very just, well, all we work on is a stable club face. Mm-hmm. You got a stable club face, you can play some nice golf.
And so the down and left, so now with his iron, say 7-iron, you're probably hitting 3 to 4 degrees down?
Yep.
And so, you know, now he's hitting down, so it's moving the path a little to the right. And so if he's moving the path to the right and he lets this, you know, flare out away from him, and so now the swing direction would go to the right, he'd be hitting a big push draw. And that would be, I would imagine, your double miss you're talking about, your two-way miss.
Yeah, you either leave it out or you flip it and it. Mm-hmm. Like, you overdraw it. So. Right. That's exactly what I don't want to do. Is exactly what you're saying.
Yep. And so because he's hitting down, he's trying to exit the handle a little bit more to the left. So it's interesting, the difference between the driver and the iron, all based off of what the attack angle is.
100%.
Is what Lee is talking about, in which way he wants the club to exit, whether it's out with the driver, let it go, or more down and left. I love the you got the left wrist. Pretty flat club face matching the left wrist. Like, when you look at this swing, Lee, at the top, is this pretty much how your swing has looked, or have you, over the years, have you structured your backswing and to make things easier coming down, or has the backswing always been pretty much that right there?
It's definitely gotten different over the years. I used to be a lot flatter and a lot more laid off, when it was going good, was good, because that's, you know, I feel like flat kind of wants to go left, low and left, but it could also, you know, if I let it go out, then the push draw was a lot more. Mm-hmm. And so we've kind of got a little, it's still a little bit laid off at the top, but pretty much just neutral. And it's just made it a really nice spot to kind of hit both shots. If I do want to turn the ball right, it's a lot easier spot to do that from. And if I do want to turn it to the left, it's a lot easier spot to do that from. So we just tried to almost get a higher and more neutral backswing so that I could hit more golf shots.
Is it pretty straight with the irons, or is it?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, everybody wants to say they hit it straight, but I feel like I am a pretty straight ball hitter. Me and my caddy say a lot, you know, we just aim right at the flag or something, you know, or we're going to aim three right of it. So I don't curve the ball a lot. I'm definitely not a guy that, you know, I don't see a right pin and think, oh, I'm going to cut it in there. I just kind of aim a yard left of it and hit a 1 yard cut or something like that. That's just kind of the way I play golf.
Give my audience some insight on, let's say, a game plan here. One of the words that I hear a lot, and I heard this from Victor last week, who won, of course, Memorial. Mm-hmm. You finished 12th there, and you were right there. You were up there close, first page of the leaderboard on Sunday. And so I'm sure that was a great experience. But I heard Victor talked about that he had to get more conservative, not play so aggressive.
No doubt. Right?
And I think sometimes when an amateur hears that, the audience hears that, they're like, wait a minute, like, what does that mean? Are they not aiming at the pin? Like, what does it mean to be conservative over 18 holes, let's say this week? How often is there a green light situation where you're like, well, I'm going to go ahead and just shape it right at the flagstick?
So it all depends on how the course is set up and how the conditions are. So on Sunday, I mean, I don't know if I aimed at the pin one time, because really? If you aimed at the pin on Sunday at Memorial, you weren't going to keep it by the pin. So you had to figure out, the greens were so firm and they were so fast that you had to figure out, where am I going to land the ball to get it to roll and stop where I want it, you know? And then other times you're at a, like on 18, I remember I hit in the first cutoff tee, put a nice drive. I had 7 iron in, and the greens were so firm and I was in the first cut that me and my caddy are trying to figure out where we want to chip from. So we literally didn't think I could hit the green. So it's just stuff like that. You know, there's just the tour courses, and especially like the major type events, you know, Memorial and then the majors and then the other ones, they just get so difficult that it's that little bit of being smart. And like Victor was saying, obviously I would bet Victor was thinking on every shot, where do I want to leave this ball? You know what I mean? And sometimes 30 feet, you know, like the putt he made on 17, that's probably exactly where he wanted to hit that golf ball.
Yep.
It's exactly where he wanted to hit that golf ball. Cause he's like, I'm just going to get a putt at it. And then he made the putt. So sometimes 30 feet is exactly where you want the golf ball. So that's the difference in game plan for us is, sometimes 30 feet's where we want it. Sometimes, you know, but sometimes there's pins where 1 foot's where you want it. So it just all depends on the conditions and where the pin is.
Even the pitch shot that he had in the 72nd hole, he's right in front of the green.
No doubt.
That pin's over in the left, and he hits it to the right, and he's like 10, 12 feet right at the pin high. And Trevor Immelman says, wow, that was a really good shot. And Jim Nance is like, well, are you surprised that he didn't take it more at the flag? And Trevor's like, no, I'm not surprised. That's, you know, even on a 50-yard pitch, even on a 50-yard pitch.
I mean, he had no chance of going at the flag.
So you won on the Korn Ferry Tour. You get on the PGA Tour. You've been close. I mean, you've had some top tens in there, third at the Amex, ninth at the Honda. You were seventh at the CJ Cup last year, Zozo 23rd. You get into this year, you've had a couple really good tournaments, 18th at Genesis, 14th at Honda. You seem to like those tournaments there.
Yeah.
Sixth at Valero, and then I mentioned 12th at Memorial. So you've, look, you're right there. You're knocking on the door. You're in the hunt. When you're in the hunt and you have a chance to win, how does that hit you as a player? How would you describe, like, okay, is it like a definitive moment where, oh, okay, it's time to go win this thing? Or is it not that definitive when it hits you with the time to win?
Well, it definitely is. I mean, it's definitely different teeing off on Sunday at 1:30 than it is teeing off Sunday at 8:30.
So it hits you like that, more like that right out of the gate.
No doubt. No doubt. I mean, you think about the night before. You think, this is why I practice. This is why I've played golf since I was 10 years old, is for a chance to win a golf tournament like this. And yeah, I mean, I think the better you get at accepting you have that chance, and just like I didn't play bad on Sunday. I mean, I shot 76, but I think the field average was 76. And
yeah, well, it was 75 and a half, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I just didn't hit it well enough on Sunday. I putted and chipped unbelievable on Sunday. I could have shot 85. But it was just playing really difficult, and I just didn't quite hit it well enough to be in contention on Sunday. But it definitely hits you, and it's definitely different, but it's why we do what we do, you know?
Yeah.
I was the most excited I've been all year teeing off on Sunday because I knew I had a chance to win a golf tournament. I'd had some nice finishes, but I really hadn't had a chance to win any. And this was the first time I had a chance to win. And man, it's special. And it's because it doesn't, for most people, it doesn't come around all the time. You know, for most of us professional golfers, we'll get a handful a year. And it's really special when it happens. And it's really, really fun.
All right, let's finish up with this. So you're walking the range. I've got my guys. I want you to give me yours. Let's pick the driver to start with, like out there on tour. You can't pick Rory. That's obvious.
Oh, I was about to say, that's not a good question.
Yeah, that's obvious. But like, give me a couple names, like with the driver, like guys are, you know, audience is listening. They're going to go watch. Give us a name maybe that we're thinking of or maybe not thinking of. Like you need to stop and watch this dude hit the driver.
Easy. Taylor Pendrith.
Yeah.
Absolutely ships it.
Canadian. Yep.
Absolutely. He's one of my good buddies, but
it's a good point.
He's one of the better drivers I've ever played with. He hits it long and hits a 3-yard cut. Mm-hmm. He's a massive human. He's a big dude, but if you're on a range and Taylor Pendrith's in a driver, it's worth sitting and watching.
Yeah. I mean, Victor, right. I mean, he's
Victor hits a great driver.
Is it like Rom gets it going? It's just,
those are the best in the world.
How simple does Taylor Montgomery make it look with the driver? Like he just kind of reaches back and flicks at it. It's like, I remember doing something with him on the range and he's like, yeah, I'll just go ahead and hit a couple here and, you know, get warmed up. And I'm looking at the numbers. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. That ball just carried 305. What do you mean? You're getting warmed up.
Yeah, send it. He's a big guy too, though.
Yeah,
I would say pound for pound, a guy that hits it really far is Eric Cole. I played with Eric Cole.
Okay.
I played with Eric Cole, can't remember, a couple of weeks ago now, and I was shocked. I mean, because he's a smaller guy. I mean, not a big guy. Small strapping guy. He can send it out there for a smaller guy.
What about irons? I mean, you got the obvious, right, with the iron play. I mean, JT's a great iron player. Yeah. Obviously, Victor's a great iron player and some of those names, but is there one or two in there? Like, yeah, you need to probably stop and watch this guy hit his irons. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Taylor Moore is pretty special with a 7-iron.
Okay.
Who else? Grayson Sigg's pretty nice with a 7-iron.
Wow. Grayson Sigg, yeah. Okay.
Because Siggy just knows where it's going. He just hits draws every time. Mm-hmm. And who else?
Morikawa. Have you played with him?
I have played with Colin. Now, Colin's, I would pick him as to hit my irons. Like I would pick Rory to hit my driver and Colin to hit my irons.
Yeah.
Pretty unbelievable.
All right. How about let's go around the greens a little bit.
Yep.
Who would you pick them in? Eric Cole's pretty damn good around the greens too.
Eric Cole is nice around the greens. Great.
Is Sahith?
Like Sahith, yes. Exactly who I would have picked. Sahith.
Dude,
Sahith at RBC Heritage.
Yeah.
And I think he chipped in 3 times that day. It was unbelievable. Absolutely special with a wedge.
He is.
And it's not very – you wouldn't teach it the way he does it, but he just has a set of hands on him that is pretty special.
He's got to get the shaft lean out of his driver. And that's he gets the shaft lean out of his driver, and he cleans up some of that. I like the way you were describing the driver versus irons and how they're two different things. I think important. I wonder if it is for him. I'd be curious to ask him that. All right.
He moves it a lot. He moves it more than maybe anybody I've ever played with.
Okay.
And I'm talking left, right, up and down too.
Wow.
I remember the first tee shot he hit at Heritage is like a pretty standard cut driver. And he hit this thing about head high. And it was pretty cool. But he hits a lot of different shots. But yeah, around the greens, he's really special.
I mean, obviously, Scheffler and Spieth, you know, those guys.
Spieth is the best wedge player in the world.
Is he?
No doubt. Yeah. It's unbelievable what he can do with a wedge.
I think he's the only guy that I actually ran into the living room to watch hit a bunker shot.
For sure. It's unbelievable. He just gets around the green, and you're like, well, this could go in.
Yeah, I could hear him. I could hear him. I was like in the other room, like KSP's getting ready here in the middle. I'm like,
yeah,
because it's just it's must watch TV with the wedge in his hand. All right, so with the putter, I mean, this Montgomery kid can putt too.
He is an unbelievable putter. I mean, I think I was talking to Marcus, and I think for the majority of the year, he was like setting records in how much he was gaining strokes. I mean, he was averaging like 2 strokes around at one point.
Yeah, Denny,
which is hard to believe. Yeah, Denny's top notch. Christian Bezuidenhout.
Okay.
Absolutely rolls it. I mean, absolutely rolls it. Incredible.
That's one. That's why I knew he could pop. But that's interesting that he's on that level. You know, I had Denny on the podcast a few weeks ago, and we were talking about his putting, and I had his routine up there, and I was like, man, watching you putt is intimidating. And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, just watching you approach the putt, you're just like, you could tell you're in charge. Like, it's it's going in, man. Like, that's not the way people walk up to a putt, most of us.
No doubt.
You're walking up to it like that ball's going to do what you tell it to do. Like, it's going in the hole.
Then he can roll it.
Yeah, he can roll it. And so, yeah, I mean, Denny and Taylor, God, that day he was putting just insane. I mean, it was like he was putting to the ocean, for crying out loud.
He rolls it. I played with Ricky last week. Mm. He still rolls it. I don't care what he's putting with. He still rolls it.
Yeah.
The thing about Ricky is I never noticed. Man, his balls go in the hole quick, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They've got some speed when they hit the hole, but they go right in the middle.
Yep. Yeah, he's convincing, too, with his putting. I mean, when he gets it going, I mean, when he was really going, he was another guy that you could tell was, all right. That's a top three putter in the world right there. I mean, he's in charge. He knows which way it's going to come off the face. He knows the speed. And if it doesn't go in, it's taking a peek.
Close.
It's taking a peek. And it may go 4 feet by.
That's what I've always said. Good putters, every putt they hit looks like it's going to go in, whether it doesn't or it does.
Yeah. Well, man, you're a good putter too. You're good wicket. You got a lot of good stuff going on, man. I feel like it's bubbling up for you. You know, I've got a pretty good track record of this. I thought Denny was going to get to the finish line last week.
Yeah.
And that would have been huge. I know he was disappointed, and I know he's feeling like he's getting close. So this week, golf course, final question, Oaksdale. I mean, you got to keep it in the fairway. I'm looking at your stroke scan off the tee. I see a whole lot of green.
Yeah.
So you feel like you keep it in play. How about a positive 5 stroke scan approach? That's about where you've been the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Make some putts. This a place you feel like you can contend?
No doubt. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's a bomber's course. I think there's a lot of people that have a chance to win this golf tournament. I think it kind of brings everybody in. So I would say the most important thing is going to be in the fairway. I think the person that wins is going to get in the fairway more than everybody else and just leave it in the right spots. These greens have a lot of undulation, especially on the front nine. So leave it in the right spot. So I would say it's a ball striking week over a putting week.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, we appreciate your time. No need to talk about all this other stuff anymore. Go take a nap, get ready to go play some golf and go get yourself a win this week up in Canada. Lee Hodges, thanks for joining us on the pod.
Thank you, dude. I really appreciate it.
Sweet.